Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
And so it's fun to remind ourselves that mold isn't anything we need to become paranoid about. It certainly isn't anything that we would want to not interact with at all. I think mold is a study in which it's important for us to decide where it's a problem, and then to decide what we can do about it. If you imagine a spore like a dried dandelion, sometimes in a single inch on a wall or in a cavity or on the floor or in the carpet, you might find between 10,000 and a million spores. And the spore, as you walk by, just like the dandelion might on a windy day, it will just let itself go and it will travel again. As your imagination can run, it will travel. So it certainly isn't a given that it may sit down and create a colony elsewhere, but it's a concern.
Hello, this is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. Welcome to part two of our exploration in mold and air quality. That was Laura Ness of Green Home Solutions Duluth, and she is going to talk to you today all about mold. how it makes us feel, how it gets into our bodies, what do we do to help control and make our environment better, our bodies more comfortable. She's going to take us through parts of her journey with Lyme disease and finding the mold in her home, which ultimately inspired this business with her and Steve Stern. So check that out. She's a lot of really interesting stuff to say that if this is something you have questions about or you're concerned or are wondering about, this is a great resource. You might want to also go back and check the episode right prior to this talking about Laura with Steve Stern talks additionally about mold and just gives us some ideas of the technology that they have and all of these new things that are happening to support people with mold issues to help us maybe have it not become such a problem. If we can find it beforehand, help us find it. And again, make it not happen in the first place. So if you have any questions or concerns with mold, you're going to want to listen to that one as well and have that information in your awareness or your health toolbox. Laura and I ended up having a couple really great conversations. And so I took them and I kind of mushed them around a little bit. And so we had this episode, which again, focuses mostly on mold, but there's some definite great information for some general health support stuff in there as well. And then I took parts of our conversation that were really focused on health and general health. And we're going to put that out next week. That's going to be our 100th episode. And that's going to apply to pretty much anybody who has a health struggle or just wants to support their health in general. So much fantastic information. I had a great time hanging out with Laura and getting to know her. And she's just this wealth of knowledge and experience. So take advantage of all of that. And for those of you who are Patreon supporters now or in the future, we have a little bit of the interview that didn't make it into either one of the episodes that we're going to pop online that's not there yet. It should be in the next week or two, so keep an eye out for that for those of you who are on Patreon. For those of you who are not, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. As little as a dollar a month, you can support the work that we do here and keep it flowing. Thank you so much for that. Also, thank you for sharing on Facebook or passing out the emails, getting an episode or the podcast to somebody who might benefit, who has interest in health and wellness topics and who, yes, maybe lives in Duluth. There's so much here for Duluth, Minnesota in our community. Also, these topics, so much information can be gained in other parts of the country, in the world. And as a matter of fact, people have taken advantage of that. And I know that because I have talked to people who have been guests on my podcasts, who have had people approach them from other parts of the world to work with them. So that is wonderful and fantastic. And the internet is amazing. I guess that's the whole World Wide Web thing, eh? Anyway, let's dive into Laura and week two of our focus on mold.
Mold is this vast and grand conversation. The topic is fodder for the imagination, really, is what I'm realizing. And I think it's initially important to remind ourselves that mold is essential to our quality of life. If we were on the planet without mold, we would be buried miles deep in refuse. Truly, their work is to decompose what needs to be decomposed. But in the home, it's totally inappropriate often be troubling.
Right? It's out of its best suited environment.
Yes, quite simply.
A little invasive species sometimes.
Yeah. And so it's fun to remind ourselves that mold isn't anything we need to become paranoid about. It certainly isn't anything that we would want to not interact with at all. I think mold is a study in which it's important for us to decide where it's a problem and then to decide what we can do about it. Because mold itself is an organism that creates a biofilm. Mold is never, it's never in place in the home without other cohabitants in that biofilm. It will be living with and in community with bacteria and viruses and other funguses and other yeasts and other microorganisms. And mold establishes itself by sending out spores. And so the spore itself is sometimes an allergen. And if you imagine a spore like a dried dandelion, sometimes in a single inch on a wall or in a cavity or on the floor or in the carpet, you might find between 10,000 and a million spores. And the spore, as you walk by, just like the dandelion might on a windy day, it will just let itself go and it will travel again. As your imagination can run, it will travel wherever it is inclined to travel, whether that's up your nasal cavity and into your lungs or into the next room or through the ducting. And it's important to maintain perspective on the fact that maybe a very small portion of that million spores are viable. So it certainly isn't a given that it may sit down and create a colony elsewhere. But it's a concern because the spore itself can be an allergen. It can irritate your immune system. Or the spore itself can settle into the body and create an illness. It can become part of a biofilm in the body, whether that's in your nasal cavity or in other parts of your body. You know, the lungs and the nasal cavity is kind of that warm, moist, perfect environment for molds. And there are some clinicians that are very concerned about mold organisms proliferating in the body. And there are some clinicians that aren't certain that that's a concern.
Really? Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it always is. Huh. And then beyond the concern about spores, there's the probability that the mycotoxin that the mold organism releases is also an allergen. And that mycotoxin is a protein that is created by the mold with its intent to be, it's almost like the mold is trying to, it's a defense that the mold creates, intending to create more territory for itself. So the mycotoxin is an irritant for other organisms because, of course, the mold wants to be the king of the heap and it wants more space in that piece of drywall. And that mycotoxin is intended to create more territory for the mold. But often, the mycotoxin is more problematic to the human body than the spore.
Okay.
Which is really challenging for anyone living in a home in which they don't feel well and they're not sure why. Because the mycotoxin is harder to pin down than the spore. Laboratories all over the United States can do spore counts under a microscope. But to pin down what the mycotoxin levels in a home is really difficult. And there are clinicians that would encourage you to get blood analysis of mycotoxins available in your body for analysis, but some suggest that you open your refrigerator door and you are exposed to a greater wave of mycotoxins than you would be at any time walking around in your basement.
Oh, wow.
So there is some very significant controversy, actually, among professionals as to how to get to the bottom of how a mycotoxin exposure may be affecting your body.
Wow.
Yeah.
The world is not filled with answers, is it? It's just filled with more questions.
Nothing like a nice dose of ambiguity.
Well, it is. It's fascinating because it's an interesting thing when you think about the mold and whether, you know, not that it answers any questions, but, you know, the mold is just trying to do its best and, you know, proliferate and become successful.
I love that, yeah.
just like the rest of us. And so when it has that environment, then it makes that happen. But then if there's all those questions about in our body too, and it's not easy to just figure out an answer.
And I think as we're hunting for answers, if we are struggling with a health condition, at some point it's important to differentiate between a mold illness and an allergy response to mold in your home. Because I think a mold illness suggests that inside your body there is mold that is making you ill. Maybe those spores have settled in.
Mm-hmm.
Or in your home there is mold that is making you ill, and you are generally feeling ill all the time. But in contrast, if you're struggling with an allergic reaction to the mold in an environment, whether that's your home or your office or your car, or outside, because really mold is ubiquitous, mm-hmm. it is everywhere, that would mean that your immune response, the symptoms that the immune response provoke in you, is driving you crazy, not necessarily the mold organism itself.
Oh, okay.
It may be that your immune system is overreacting to something that it doesn't need to overreact to.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, it's kind of a fun puzzle to chew through. How can you support your best health so your immune system is possibly able to settle down just in general? Or how can you desensitize yourself to mold?
Mm-hmm.
And there is low-dose allergy therapy, and there is microcurrent therapy. But then that really is the hunt for a clinician that knows how to work their magic and work with your body.
Right, and understands all of those pieces and how they might fit together and what to look for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then your responsibility as the homeowner is to get to the bottom of whether you have a pernicious mold in your environment. Because there are hundreds of thousands of species of mold. You know, many, many tens of thousands of genus, and then many hundreds of thousands of species. And of those hundreds of thousands, a fraction of them are allergenic and irritating to the human. And a fraction of the fraction are truly concerning to anyone in that environment. Most listeners are probably familiar with the black mold, the toxic mold, the Stachybotrys.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an organism that would likely bother anyone in an environment in which it's present. And so certainly if you have mold in a corner of your home and you aren't feeling well, maybe a burning question is it Stachybotrys? Is it a mold that is recognized as potentially and probably allergenic to anyone?
Hey, this is Judy. We're going to pop in right now with Laura's story. She's going to talk about what got her into this whole mold business in the first place. And it started with her own experience finding mold in a new house and her trying to find a satisfactory way to remove it.
And, you know, through that Lyme journey of my own, we wound up moving to a new home that we'd kind of dreamt about forever, and it's just a lovely home. And then through the course of the first number of months in the house, I realized that there wasn't something quite right. And I was playing around with low-dose allergy therapy at the time, and you can kind of make your own concoction, and it was very interesting. And I wound up realizing that I was reacting to a closet in our basement. It's a closet in our basement that was housing a 150-gallon fish tank. And the backside of the fish tank emptied into the closet, and they had built in a spigot, and there was tons of piping. And over the course of the last 20 years, this closet had like grown a garden of mold. And every time I stepped into that closet, my chest would explode. It would start to burn. I would have these really strange cognitive concerns every time I wanted to tidy the basement. It's all very interesting. And so I started to explore, what does it mean if you have a mold condition in your home? And talk about panic.
Mm.
Like, you feel like you're emotionally backed into a corner and you're living in this strange twilight zone. And who do you turn to for help in that instance? I did not find an answer that I was happy with. We remediated the closet, but I didn't feel good about it. And I slowly realized, even after that project was over, that we still had trouble in our home. And so then I really dug into the internet, and I was listening to my favorite podcast host, Ashley James. She's got the Learn True Health podcast, and she was interviewing the president of this franchise, the Green Home Solutions franchise. And he discussed a pretty revolutionary way to address mold concerns in the home. They've got these proprietary enzyme products that get to the root, get to the hyphae of the mold concern. And so then I have a spidey sense about like best practice.
Mm.
And the light bulb just went off, and I was like, that's what I need. And we need this in Duluth. I need to invite this company to my house. I really need their help. And I called, the closest franchise was in Indiana, so there just was no way. So I had a close friend. We were getting to know each other. Steve Stern was interested in opening his own business at the time, and so I said, this is what we need to do. We really need this support in Duluth. And so we've opened Green Home Solutions of Duluth, and I am in the process of remediating our home And I've learned a tremendous amount about the microbes in the home, the biome in the home, and really the impact chronic mold exposure can have on your health. Whether that is commingled with a chronic Lyme condition or not, you can sink fast if you do wind up with a mold problem in your home or your workspace or your car. And so I brought this favorite book I found. Her name is Dr. Jill Krista. She's written a book called Break the Mold. If you have any concerns as a listener about whether you're struggling with mold, I suggest you pick this book up off Amazon and read it. Judy, I just wanted to go through with you like a symptoms list. But sometimes your problems are mystifying, and this symptoms list associated with chronic mold exposure is so extensive. It's kind of mind-blowing. There really is no single symptom that confirms mold sickness. I really did want to read to you this one passage that's fascinating and really resonates and may resonate with the listener. Almost every person with mold sickness has some level of anxiousness. People around them may not necessarily know what's going on because the mold sick person deals with it internally. And it may seem like an internal experience of feeling unsettled, uneasy, overwhelmed, or stressed out. Some describe feeling restless or not being able to find inner stillness or a feeling of impending doom or worrying that something bad is going to happen. Others describe dreading social encounters. And these feelings improve after your mold is addressed in your environment. And I can certainly suggest that my experience resonates with this passage. And that is so significant. Like this experience, to degrees, I think I picked up Lyme when I was very young. About 11, maybe.
Oh, really?
At this wilderness Bible camp.
Okay.
But since then, because Lyme can create immune dysfunction to such a degree that mold then is that much more impactful. And I can look back over the course of my life and I can almost see when I may have been living in an environment that did harbor some mold that I was irritated by. Because this experience has cropped up in my life in the past.
Wow.
And I just love that there may be a physical reason that you're overwhelmed by anxiety. And so this symptoms list, I'm just going to pull some of this out. And Judy, if some of it resonates or if you've heard anecdotal conversations from others, like your ear, nose, and throat symptoms can be the runny nose, postnasal drip, chronic sinusitis, the bumps at the back of the throat, your swollen lymph nodes, allergies and hay fever, ear popping, the ringing, the dry eyes, the irritated eyes. I had irritated eyes for years. And as I've been working on our new home, that irritation has totally disappeared at times, and that's been a great relief. I visited 3 or 4 eye doctors in Duluth looking for relief from these irritated eyes because it was overwhelming at times, and really they didn't have any insight.
Wow.
It really was just that getting to know your own body and your own environment that gave me insight into the fact that the irritated eyes were directly a result of the environment I was in. Your respiratory symptoms, of course, can be the wheezing, the shortness of breath, that chronic dry cough, burning in your lungs. I experienced that to a great degree. A heaviness in your chest. And all of these chemical sensitivities, a sensitivity to fragrance, sensitivity to cleaning products, that can be that full bucket. Because if you've got that bucket, that proverbial bucket that can fill with toxins, and once it overflows, your body is overwhelmed, like that bucket can fill with these spores and these mycotoxins associated with mold exposure. If you got colds that go to your lungs or chronic respiratory illnesses, blood-stained spit, oh my gosh, and the digestive symptoms, appetite changes and nausea, irritable bowels, diarrhea or constipation, bloating, abdominal pain, food sensitivities, sweet cravings. These food sensitivities, they currently rule my life, and I think they were precipitated by a mold exposure. And if anyone listening struggles with food sensitivities that almost seem to morph and change or grow more dramatic as they try to address them, it may be that you're working or living in a moldy condition. Circuit, like the spider veins, easy bruising.
Wow, really?
Bleeding. Yeah, varicose veins, Raynaud's, irregular heartbeats. And on your skin, if you've got sensitive or itchy skin, or you've got burning or flushing, or you're sensitive to sunlight, or you've got rashes or peeling, if you wind up with fungal infections on your skin, this is all a suggestion that mold may be involved. And then these brain symptoms. I really experienced this at times, both with the Lyme kaleidoscope and living in mold. The brain fog, the confusion, the memory loss, or trying to find that right word. At a certain point, a few years ago, I was having a hard time even introducing myself. I was having a really hard time conversing with people because the brain fog was such that my response would be so slow to any response of theirs or idea of theirs. It was very painful. Then it elicits then, of course, anxiety. And I think the upside of that is that I became a pretty good listener because I could certainly listen. I could be an attentive listener in any conversation. And so I still enjoy that. But I have really enjoyed just clearer thoughts. I can finish a sentence that I began. It's been a really nice, fun experience as I am recovering from Lyme and mold exposure. And then the nervous system symptoms, like if you're anxious or depressed, or if you're not coordinated, or you've got headaches, or the vertigo experience, if you have migraines or slow reflexes, the dysautonomia or the insomnia, your sleeping cycles can be dramatically impacted by living in chronic mold. Certainly seizures or tremors, daytime sleepiness. It's amazing. And then the urinary symptoms. If you've got an irritable bladder, overactive bladder, kidney inflammation, or chronic bladder infections with no identifiable infection, if you keep going back to your doctor and they're like, well, we can just give you another course, antibiotics, this might be a concern. And then the immune symptoms, the immune system concerns are really dramatic too. You have an increased susceptibility to cancer when you're exposed to certain molds. Viral infections can become bacterial. You've got a chronic mono or that Epstein-Barr virus can chronically upset a body. You have an increased susceptibility to infections. It's just amazing. Even a frequent herpes outbreak.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the reproductive systems, those symptoms, if you have a change in your menstrual cycle or you've got vaginal yeast or bacterial infections or jock itch or infertility in both genders can be associated with chronic mold concerns.
I'm just thinking, you know, somebody listening to this could be like, wow, it could be anything, right? But if you have that, especially if you have that consistent thing that you can't figure out.
Yep.
You know.
And you can go online or you can purchase this book, and she has a mold questionnaire. Again, Dr. Jill Krista, these mold questionnaires, like if you're checking off a lot of those boxes, that's more insight than if it's just a few.
Right.
Of course. And again, you have to use your imagination, because every human has a different microbiome and every home has a different biome. And of the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of species of mold, really only a couple hundred are significantly allergenic. Only a few of those are upsetting to everyone. And again, as that immune system reacts with the world that we live in, you're sensitive to spores outside as well as being sensitive to spores inside. You're sensitive to pollen. And so really, you do have to put on your detective hat. And really, maybe just go sniffing around your own home. If the smell is there, you do have a problem. If your home smells old and musty, there's mold present. And if you spend a lot of your time at home, if you work from home, or if you decide to move your home office to the basement, you may become overwhelmed. If you're spending most of your time in your bedroom upstairs and the air from the basement isn't infiltrating, if you don't have any problems in your attic, maybe you're never overwhelmed. But if you become overwhelmed, that's when the symptoms start to rule your life, and you might be best served to address the mold problem in the home.
And so if somebody thinks, because I'm thinking, you know, if you're seeing mold, then you know mold is there. But if you don't know, if you're like, okay, I'm experiencing this stuff and maybe I've tried multiple things and it's not going away, what does a person do if they're like, I don't smell mold, I don't see mold, I don't even know? Is that where the questionnaire comes in, or is there things that people can kind of think about of like, how would you know if that's even a thing that's a possibility for you?
Oh, I know, it's so maddening. I'm learning about what can our business offer someone. What am I able to do in my own home to create a healthy environment? I think our home was foreclosed upon and it did have a quiet year. And I think, so our home, I do have some further work to do trying to get to the bottom of what happened and where. And so, yeah, I mean, I can address this personally because I'm still puzzling through this. I think, you know, to create that really, that the body is as healthy as it's able. And if you do have a Lyme, if you do have Lyme disease that's complicating your health condition, you really need to know that, I think. And so you kind of check that box. And if you have concerns about your workspace or your home space, start to really, really tune into your own body. Start to really catalog the symptoms that you're struggling with. Really put words to them. Write them down on a list. really start to pay attention to them. Are you bothered when you go down and do the laundry? Are you bothered when you get to work? Do you feel better on a walk outside in fresh, clean air? Oftentimes, the work environment is a problem for someone. It may not be a problem at home. It might be a problem at work. Is it when the air conditioner turns on? Do you smell a strange smell when the air exchange turns on? Do you smell a strange smell when you go to the restroom? Is there some way that you can pinpoint a particular space that might be a place to start? Really, you need a place to start.
Mm-hmm.
And our business is probably best practiced in the region. If you're concerned in your home or your office, we can come take air samples and swab samples. We can help determine if you have a moisture issue in your home or office, because that certainly would be an indication that probably mold is involved. And so, yeah, our office, our business is a good resource to have involved if you are worried.
From your experience, if somebody's experiencing something, and granted it depends if it's settled in your body or if it's your immune system or if it's the house, are there ways to kind of go, okay, I'm going away, I'm going to go take a vacation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how long does somebody have to, and I know you don't have all the answers, but ideas if you have them.
Yeah.
How long does somebody have to stay away to go, okay, I think this is my house, or I think this is the place I'm living, or whatever the case is, to get that sense of I've been away long enough, and is my body feeling different?
Yeah, it's a tricky question, because you have to ensure that where you're going away to is mold-free
right.
as well. You know, I travel to my folks' place. That's kind of the way I get away. But, boy, they live in a log cabin that they built 40 years ago, and that is not an oasis away from mold. That's for sure. I usually wind up feeling more poorly.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we're going to treat my folks' place this fall to see if we can move that dial a bit. You could camp. You know, that's...
Oh.
Oh, man, there's this fascinating clinician. I think he's a clinician and a scientist, Zach Bush. He has a product line of his own, and he really thinks that some of the most ancient and healthful biomes yet available to us in the country is at national parks.
Oh, wow.
So if you want to inform your microbiome with healthier information,
right.
you could go camping for a week or two.
Well, and it makes a certain amount of sense, right? Those are the areas that have been the least touched,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the least messed with. It gets to the environment, gets to work itself out.
Yeah. Yeah, and ancient and stronger strains that are healthful have been able to maintain a position. It's a difficult question to answer, though, because, again, your imagination can run wild. If you're bringing an infection with you, maybe slowly away from a contaminated environment, your body can slough that infection, but it's hard to say. One thing you can say is if you go to work and sitting at your desk, you never feel well. There's something going on in your office space. And one thing you can say is if you go home and you go down to the basement to do the laundry, and right there in the basement, you wind up like wondering, like, how do I sort my laundry? Or what was I doing down here? Or I can't touch this mess. I don't know what to do with it. If you experience brain fog in your basement, and primarily in your basement, that's a good indication that maybe there's something in your basement environment that's troubling.
So it's interesting that it can be that quick.
Yeah.
That it can be you breathe it in and it can start to affect you immediately. So it is that kind of assessment of where did this begin, or when am I experiencing these things, or just that self-awareness to try to break down where some things might be happening for you.
Totally. That's well said, that sense of self-awareness and the responsibility to maintain ownership of your own best health and to take your concerns seriously. And, you know, that's partly why Steve and I opened this business, because if you do have concerns in your home, do you have mold or do you have allergens or are you overwhelmed by dander in your home, who do you turn to for support? I didn't feel confident that there was a business in Duluth that could really do anything with mold in the home that was comprehensive and effective. And this franchise company with these proprietary products and their best remediation practices seem like someone's best hope if they do have a mold problem in their home.
It is exciting to have something, because I know this is something, this topic, mold, has come up in, you know, all of the work that I've done in health. It's something that has come up. People, you know, we talk about their histories with it. And it was the, I don't know what to do.
I know.
You know.
Jeez. Yeah. Sometimes you truly need help. You need someone with some professional skills to help with assessment and to help with healing. It's really interesting to get to that point.
And having a place to start, or is this one more thing you can knock out of the question list of what's going on with my experience right now?
Yeah, and you know, there are all these interesting dynamics at play. One interesting dynamic at play when you're trying to decide if you're struggling with a mold illness is you may have had exposure in a past environment that sensitized your body to less worrisome molds now and in the future. Mm-hmm. If you accidentally were living in an apartment with some of the Stachybotrys, you didn't even know it when you were a college student. Now, into adult years, you may be living in a home that has a healthier biome, perhaps no Stachybotrys present and no troubling molds per se, mm-hmm. but your body may be more sensitive to what is present. What do you do with that? I think there are a couple clinicians in town here that may be in positions to help. Should I say those names?
Sure, yeah, go for it. Rock on.
I'm working with Cindy Bates. She's downtown. She has a elite sport medicine. She has some interesting machines and techniques that might help the body desensitize.
Okay, interesting.
And Dr. John Herbert, he has some fascinating techniques to help the body clear molds if it is struggling with a mold. Those two, and then Dr. Shannon May is a naturopath up at the Hub on 9th Street. She has got some wonderful methods in which she helps the body become as strong as it can be. And that, I think, is a very helpful approach to best health, too.
Right, right. Building up what you can do when you can't quite figure out what those challenges are.
And you always have to consider your bucket, right? Like, what is your bucket filling with? Mm-hmm. And possibly mold, and that may be the primary concern. The primary concern may be the Lyme kaleidoscope, and that really fills the bucket fast. But what can you take from your bucket just to help your body relieve itself of a burden that isn't necessary? So those healthful practices are hugely influential, especially when you're confounded and you're not sure what you're struggling with or mm-hmm. what you're dealing with. Just to maintain and commit to healthy living as a way to just lighten that bucket's load.
Right. The less our body has to process on a daily basis, the better.
Yeah.
No, the less junk, the less foreign little things, whether they're part of our food or part of what we're breathing or using for, you know, think of all the stuff that's in our body products and all of that stuff
our body has to
fight through, right?
Jeez, your liver has to process all those chemicals.
Yeah, yeah.
It has to decide to do something with it.
Right, and when we think of, you know, there's so much more that we have to do. I mean, just in that concept of the bucket, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we think of, like, the past societies or people, generations before us, right? They had some bad stuff they had to deal with, yeah. and they didn't have the medical mm-hmm. necessarily to figure it out. But they also had to fight a lot less stuff that technology and science and forward movement is a wonderful and amazing thing. It does all mm-hmm. of these things that can be so good and then also so not so good, mm-hmm. you know? The little plastic beads, mm-hmm. you know, or the phthalates or those things that it was like, oh, this is a miracle thing. Look at what we can create. And look how our body has to deal with it and how it's filling us up. You know, feeling like you say, filling that liver bucket up in a sense, and yes. the liver can't process through all of that.
My favorite concept is that this body is a universe unto itself. There is as much space between our cells as the imagination wants to run with it. And to imagine that our bucket is filling and our livers are overwhelmed, but also we are truly a universe unto ourselves, and we just will never quite fully understand the mechanisms that are unfolding.
Right.
And I do find that kind of fun to just chew on. It's so fascinating to try to consider. Because certainly these are heavy topics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really heavy when you're not feeling well and you don't know what to do about it.
Right. Well, it's very disempowering and you wonder, what does this look like? What does life look like? What does my next week look like? Mm-hmm. How do I get through
yes.
to do the things I need to do? And again, it's not, like you say, it's not trying to be an alarmist, but it is trying to say, hey, here are some resources for if something changes for us. But also there are a lot of people who really are pushing through day to day that are just doing the best they can because they don't know what else to do.
Yeah, and certainly on the topic of mold, I go back and forth when I visit with a homeowner. I certainly want to reassure them that it's likely a concern that we can help them address. But also, you know, there's a part of me that is like the alarm bells are clanging inside because it can be a very huge deal.
Right.
So it's not a big deal and it's a huge deal at the same time.
Is there anything that we can do? You know, committing to the healthy lifestyle is a great thing, and then figuring out what that means, because that's always a tricky thing. Mm-hmm. That's always a tricky thing too, right?
Everybody.
What does that mean, right? But are there anything that you can think of with food or just things we can do on a daily basis to as it maybe relates to mold? Like, is there anything specific that we could do or not eat, or something that, you know, and I know it's maybe not even a real question because you don't know what's going on inside your body, but I'm thinking, I'm thinking of even down to just as an example, like if you've got vegetables and I don't know how this plays out in our body. So this is just a pretend universe of itself question. So if you have vegetables, you go to the store, you buy fruits, you buy vegetables, whatever. And then mold is everywhere, and those things mold, or they have it on them by the sake of just existing on the planet.
Yeah.
So you clean some of that stuff off.
I love this question.
It's like, what can we do, and does that stuff help? And, you know what
because
I mean?
Because, Judy, there are some very interesting and almost conflicting opinions.
Okay.
I love the probability, the opinion, and the suggestion that if you have a healthy organic vegetable, you know the source, you're certain that it's a healthy biome, the soil is wonderful, you maybe shouldn't scrub that because there are bacteria, wonderful bacteria, soil-based organisms that can inform your microbiome in a positive way.
Okay.
If you do ingest some of that. But there is this aflatoxin, it's Aspergillus flavus, and that is a troublesome toxin that is coming in on produce from, you know, varying reasons and varying sources and regions of the planet. And so if you want to wash your fruits especially, and if you want to scrub your vegetables, I think there would be people that would say that's very important. I don't wash my vegetables if I know where they're coming from, because I do like that notion that you're informing your microbiome in a healthy way with healthy beneficial organisms. And I do wash my produce if I purchase it from a conventional grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're wondering if your body is struggling in a moldy environment or with a mold load, you can avoid moldy foods like cantaloupe.
Mm.
And sugar tends to feed mold organisms. Mm-hmm. You could certainly, the very minimum, try to minimize or eliminate all the extraneous sugars in your diet.
And that extraneous meaning fruits or meaning...
Even fruits.
Yeah.
Any conventional sugar or processed sugar, and even fruits to some degree. And certainly you can consider avoiding grains, because there's fungus that comes in on the grains. And this, again, is fodder for the imagination. Imagine those grain silos just sitting there, or those huge ships that they travel on. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
And they put them cars. Sometimes. They're not packaged. The stuff isn't like in a package, right? Not. They go straight into...
Yep, bulk.
Right. It goes into the unit that it's traveling through. So it's not like when they take the grain, they put it in all of these bins that have been washed and hygienically whatevered and, you know, pure. And then they take it and put it in a truck.
Uh-huh.
And that's my understanding anyway.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Yeah, and it may be that the paleo lifestyle is helpful for some because they eliminate the grains that do come with some strange organisms. And I am starting to suspect that there must be some agents that grocers and suppliers use to inhibit mold growth. Mm-hmm. Because these days, my bread never molds. My vegetables, they don't necessarily mold. It's really interesting. And they don't mold in the way that you used to expect them to.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a presentation of a mold, a fuzzy mold. There's just like a slow dying of the It's just strange to me.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And so I am curious, like, how do those applications, what are those? I don't know if they're chemicals or if they themselves are derived from other microorganisms. It's impossible to say, but it's difficult to say what that's doing to your microbiome.
Right. And it's an interesting thing to think about too, because you think of how if it's getting rid of mold, and then what is it doing in our body? Mm-hmm. It's taking the good things and the bad things. The body doesn't get a chance to rebalance, mm-hmm. because it's all going. It's like the idea of I hear occasionally, well, if I eat all this food with preservatives, that should be really well preserved. It's like, well, it doesn't work that way in our bodies, right? it's a totally different, you know, chemistry set in here than it is out there, mm-hmm. on our food and in our food, and how that preserves on a shelf. Or
And you could consider a low histamine diet, you know, because if you're in a chronic state of inflammation, that probably is a lot of histamine activity in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that the cornerstone of a low histamine diet is no leftovers. I'm totally a leftover eater, so it's really hard for me to experiment with this approach. And then there are high histamine foods. And certainly we can find lists of those high histamine foods on the internet.
Yeah.
So that's one approach.
I had talked to a woman years ago who talked about that was her discovery when she finally figured out she couldn't have leftovers after a particular day. And I don't remember if she said it was histamine. I thought she said it was an enzyme thing.
Oh, of course, because leftovers are much lower in those enzymatic.
So, yeah, and she said, so if a leftover is like, she had a very specific time frame.
Ooh.
If it's this time frame, I can handle it. If it's over that, I can't.
Dang.
And it's just, and she said it was sort of like this, there was a little bit of sort of the self awareness that she felt that, mm-hmm. she was experiencing that, but thought she was thought she was crazy, like, whatever, you know. And she's like, I like leftovers, it's not that I don't like leftovers, but
yeah.
You know, figured out finally, and she's that made a huge difference for how she was feeling.
Boy, it really comes back to that self-awareness. This is kind of our work as we age in place, becoming more self-aware, because we are moving targets. And no clinician, no family member, no neighbor can be better informed of this universe that we are living in than ourselves. And it's not constructive to turn to someone else to solve our problems for us. It is constructive to turn to someone else to help us support our best work as we're trying to feel better. Some of these clinicians are wonderfully, wonderfully talented, and they've got great insight. I just think back to all the times I was certain I had pinned down my concerns and I was totally off base. And I have found clinicians who have wonderful insight and have been able to help.
Mm-hmm.
And to maintain that healthy sense of curiosity and to not become discouraged,
mm-hmm.
and to always be ready and willing to turn over a new leaf and to try something else if something isn't panning out. You know, sometimes little anecdotes can offer us insight into where mold may be playing out in our lives, or maybe the severity or maybe the potential impact. Like, I've been reading some really interesting books, and this one book discusses a case study in which a middle-aged woman was experiencing really good health. She was really happy in life, and then she started feeling poorly and eventually realized that she was habitually buying a certain sort of wine from a certain vineyard, and that wine was coming with a mold organism they call okra toxin. And so even something as wonderful as a glass of wine in the evenings can tip the balance in the microbiome and lead to really troubling symptoms.
It's just amazing.
It is.
How can we, like, live a normal life and then still really pay attention to ourselves? that's a tricky question of balance that is hanging out there.
And it's fun to play with that word normal.
Right, well, that's true, right?
We're all stuck with our own normal.
Right.
In part. Yeah, and I remember I was visiting with a woman one time years ago, and she was sharing with me that she'd been renovating a basement bathroom, and she was in the demolition phase, and she pulled down part of a drywall section of the wall, and the entire section of drywall came and, like, crashed down on her, and she found herself, you know, waist deep in a moldy mess. Wholly unexpected, but very significant, and that derailed her general health, and she then spent years trying to recover from that single acute exposure to that mess. And so when Green Home Solutions of Duluth goes in to help a homeowner and there's any significant demolition or any significant project, our crews wear personal protective equipment. We wear the full face mask and we wear the Tyvek suits because we're just really never certain of what the impact of exposure may be. And there's no reason to take any real risks.
Right. Is the homeowner then usually gone in these situations, like they leave?
It all depends on the severity of the concern.
Okay.
Usually if it's a really difficult corner of a home with an acute infection, we create a vacuum chamber. We create a negative air chamber so that the spores or the anything we're disrupting in that space doesn't travel throughout the home. So we're very well versed in how to create spaces in the home that are isolated from the rest of the home. It's a big part of our efforts. And if you are interviewing possible remediators, that's probably your most pressing concern. And in our work, we're able to treat entire homes with our enzymatic solution after our visit, so we can mitigate any lasting concerns. And sometimes that's an important part of a project, just to treat the entire home in the end, including the ductwork, to ensure that we're kind of resetting the biome in the home. Because interestingly, just as the body has a microbiome, every home has a particular biome. I just love this notion that we are more what we can't see than what we can see.
Right.
These microbes have such significant influences on our lives. And to create a healthy biome inside the home, sometimes you do need sort of a reset button. Because sometimes these bullies, they really settle in and they're taking more than they're giving.
Mm.
We even have a product line that is a probiotic for the home.
Oh, wow.
If you feel really invested in creating a healthier biome in your home, we've got this fascinating line of products that can help assist in that.
Well, it's got to be. I mean, you think of when somebody moves into a new home or they've just bought a house or whatever and you've invested in this new space and you love your new space. It's like, okay, how do you do this when something comes up? Having those solutions or those ideas of what might be possible.
Boy, we've got this industrial-sized ozone generator. And I love this beast. You can really help clean up a biome in a home by running this ozone generator, because ozone, of course, is three oxygen molecules. And that third oxygen molecule is perfectly available. It's a radical molecule. It's a radical atom of oxygen, and so it bumps up against any microorganism, and then that exposure to the oxygen just really, really wipes it out.
Wow, okay.
And ozone is a really interesting, it has a really interesting impact on the body in that it's mostly healthful, except when your lungs are exposed to ozone. It's really hard on the lungs. And so we do have homeowners leave, we do run the ozone generator, and then you have a dissipation period before you enter the home again. And I know there are ozone generators available on Amazon and other areas that are just sort of touted as air purifiers.
Yeah.
But if a homeowner is listening to this and they have that or consider that, it's essential to realize that lung exposure to ozone can be very damaging.
Interesting, because we went through years ago, ozone was the thing, right? Mm-hmm. So that sounds like that wasn't the best era for us.
Well, ozone therapies as like sinus insufflation or even ozone intravenous therapies or rectal therapies can be wonderfully healing.
Okay.
I think my understanding is that in Cuba, which has an unusual nationalized healthcare system, ozone treatment is part of the backbone of success they find in keeping some people healthy down there.
Interesting. So it's about totally it's about how you use it.
Yes.
As opposed to just using it. So I think, you know, one of the things as I'm listening to you and just kind of this miasma of, oh my gosh, there's mold, it's everywhere, I don't want to worry about it, but holy cow, when do I worry about it? It is that whole aspect of, or one of the things that I'm thinking of, it really is when you think you have a correlation in anything in your health, but maybe in the mold especially, just because it's so tricky. Well, if you think you have a correlation, pay attention to that correlation.
Yes.
You know, the whole, like you were saying, the wine. Well, you change brands of wine. Or, wow, you always buy a different bottle of wine, and that's great. But now this one, you seem to feel weird consistently as you drink it. Maybe make note of that.
Yeah, and again, imagination can run wild. If you ingest a mold organism like that and it takes hold in your gut, maybe it's not as easy as buying a different bottle of wine.
Right? Then it's there, and it's, like you said, it's set up shop a little bit.
Yeah, and that kind of takes us to what some suggest might be the richest conversation in health, is the gut biome and the health of your gut. I was visiting with a clinician, and he suggests even more important than your general brain health is possibly the general health of your gut biome.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, I've read that, but just to hear someone say that again, it just blows the mind. Oh, how do you tend to your microbiome in your gut?
Right.
Because that informs everything. Travels the vagus nerve and creates most of the serotonin we enjoy. You know, 90% of the serotonin production is in the gut. Such a fascinating tidbit. Have you had a guest in just to discuss how to tend to the microbiome?
No, I haven't, but it would be...
I wonder who it would be.
That's what I was just thinking.
It's like, who has? Because the fun question is has someone figured out how to really help anyone establish normalcy?
Right.
Like, has someone been able to pin down?
Right.
How to do that for anyone who walks in the office?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question.
One, I think, probable cornerstone that you could rest on if you're interested in a beneficial probiotic product is I think convention is establishing that if you're going to purchase a probiotic product, the spore-based probiotics are the most successful at establishing normalcy in the gut. That is money well spent, and it's probable that it will impact your gut in a beneficial fashion.
Right.
I've done some experimenting with those, and I think it is money well spent.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Well, and it's interesting too, because you're looking at your gut and then introducing something else to your gut that you're hoping will, the goal being to balance it out, get rid of the bad stuff,
mm-hmm.
get more of the good stuff in a good balance. And yeah, how do you choose that? Because of course there's a lot of products out there that don't have anything in them. And I've heard that even the probiotics where what is in them isn't living has been beneficial to people too. So it's just,
I think clinical findings suggest that it's difficult to establish new colonies in the gut, but some products can certainly help usher out the bad guys. So you're almost trying to ingest the police force.
Right.
Rather than the new neighborhood.
Right. Do some cleaning out and have it then rebalance itself in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, giving it the best environment, which again, it's tricky because it's all something we can't see and it's something that we don't feel immediately, right?
So, mm-hmm. Have you heard of that product? It's this Zach Bush I just mentioned. He has a product he calls Restore for Life.
Okay.
And it's like an ancient soil molecule that's in liquid form, and that ancient molecule just like almost turns the lights on for your beneficial bacteria. Oh, it's a maddening concept.
Wow.
Because he suggests you may have dysbiosis in the gut because something is disrupting the communication. Whew. And to help reestablish communication between these healthy microbes establishes normalcy in the neighborhood. It's like turning on a streetlight.
Wow.
Oh, it's all so interesting.
Yeah, there's so much. And it's interesting, too, because like you're talking about this sort of responsibility. You know, it is the things that we don't hear from our regular doctor visit. So it is taking these pieces in, and what can we make of them, and how can we support ourselves?
Well, the exciting thing about the internet is we consumers have access to some of the most cutting edge developments.
That is true. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, and that's why having people on podcasts is so huge, because it's taking those pieces that people have figured out in their research, because we don't all have time to sit and spend 80 hours a week
mm-hmm.
consuming and trying to sort through and what makes sense and what doesn't and what works for us, et cetera. And bringing those pieces in so that we can get a glimpse of what else is out there and what might be possible and what direction we might go to try to figure ourselves out.
I really like that. Yeah, that's a great perspective on this finer hunt.
Right. And it is a hunt. It feels like a hunt. the folks who have it all, like their world is just is working for them. They have a beautiful gift.
A gift from the universe.
Yes. Yeah.
I would encourage the readers just to be open to learning unexpected things as they're looking for answers. And certainly mold might be a physical revelation. If they do think mold might be involved. That's kind of an avenue that I was able to focus on because this business presented itself mm-hmm. as an opportunity.
And it sounds like it created such a profound shift in your being.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally and figuratively. Yeah, this has been so fun to talk about this. Judy, maybe in another year or two we could come back and discuss again because I sense that there's more for me and my company to learn.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you guys are very, very active in what you're doing. I think that's what's so exciting about the work that you're doing is you guys are so into learning. You know, it isn't just, okay, I know how to do this. We're just going to move on. It is keep learning, keep growing. And you have so much personal experience, which keeps you in that space. And so it seems like this really interesting and cool partnership that has so much more to offer than just what you offer.
And I am hunting. I'm hunting for ways to our company to best address the mold concerns in the home. And then I'm also hunting for ways for our clients to best recover. If it has made them supremely ill, how do you best recover from that exposure?
Mm.
I just am really, really curious about the response to that answer.
Yeah. Well, and if people have responses, they can certainly either get a hold of you. They can put it on the podcast page, the Facebook page, all of those things, because then other people get to benefit from them too. You know,
it is an important dialogue, right?
Any final thoughts you want to tie this up with?
I think my final thought would be mold is troublesome in some cases, and mold is wonderfully life-giving in other cases. If you have searched diligently for answers to a health concern, and it brings you to the question of, am I struggling with a mold problem in my home or my work environment or my car? Some places in which I'm often. I've built this business with my business partner, Steve Stern, because I would like to have some place for someone in this region to turn to with that question, with the confidence that we can help them answer that question and then help them with their troubles in their home if they do have problems. I feel really proud of being able to offer someone support if they are struggling with mold. I would encourage them to reach out to us if it is a question.
And it is great because you come with not only the understanding of the business and what that can do, you come from your personal experience of your health and figuring that out. So it's an additional piece of the resource that isn't just, let's check your mold, have a nice day.
No, I have
such... It's a bigger conversation that you can have with people.
And I really enjoy that conversation because truly having lived through it and living through it currently, it is... It's wonderfully complicated, and two people discussing it, you're likely to make greater progress than just talking about it with yourself.
Right, exactly. And you've done some amazing research to have some insight, which that can be a comforting thing too when you're talking to a business where they're, again, they can talk about what's going on in their body, in their mind, and in their experience, and be heard, which I think sometimes is really appreciated when you go to an expert business and they can give you a little more than just the, well, there is or isn't mold in your space.
Well, in every home we work with, every homeowner we get to visit with, we're amassing more insight for the next. So I really appreciate being in this position, getting to visit with people who have this concern. And I love being on your podcast. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, for sure. This is, well, it's big stuff, and it keeps coming up more and more and more and more all the time. So I think it's a worthy conversation to have.
Oh, that's nice to hear. Thank you.
I love that Laura has such a positive and fun approach to mold. I think you will probably hear her use the words mold and fun in the same sentence probably more than anybody else, certainly that I've ever met. Staying curious and finding joy in what's around us is a beautiful thing. And she does have this great business that she is able to really help people with too. So I am sure, at least I can fully imagine that makes something so complex and usually seen in a negative light, gives it a much different shine. And a call out to share your experiences and resources, whether you're in Duluth, Minnesota or somewhere else, looking for a couple things that we talked about in the podcast. One, Laura asked the question of who has had really good success helping people get over mold exposure issues. So if you have a resource, please do not hesitate to put it on the notes page of the podcast, Facebook message, or put it right on the episode. Get a hold of Laura at Green Home Solutions Duluth, whatever makes sense. And we talked about the curiousness of having somebody on the podcast to talk about our body's microbiome as well. So if you know some great resources for that, who have some of that stuff really figured out or some great information and insights to share, please definitely send them my way. You can connect, of course, with me through Facebook and the Wellness Renaissance Facebook page. And of course, the podcast webpage where you can find all of the episodes, wellnessrenpodcast.com. And if you are listening to this on your iPhone, you can go into an individual episode where you see the show notes, and at the bottom you can connect to the web page there to leave information as well. And while you're there, if you would leave us a review or a rating, that would also be super duper amazing while you're there. Just saying, it really does help us out. I want to make sure you have Laura and Steve's contact information. You can find them on the web at www.greenhomesolutions.com/duluth-mn. Again, that's greenhomesolutions.com/duluth-mn. The phone number is 218-576-5293. Again, that's 218-576-5293. And you can reach, if you're not in the Duluth area, you can just go to greenhomesolutions.com and you will be able to find the closest Green Home Solutions near you. Tune in next week for our 100th episode where Laura will be talking about health. Mold and Lyme will still be in there too, but we're going to be talking about how to support our health in general, as well as if you are having health challenges. Until then, may you continue to find pieces that fit wonderfully into your health and wellness puzzle. May mold not be one of them. Take care, and we'll see you next week.